98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I got so much love for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata. This is the
greatest show. You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
Bickley and Murata. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world. Hey, it's Friday. Good morning. Welcome. It's Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming to you live from the Ok Chin Community Studios. Baseball is back. Dan Bickley will be back next week. Luke Lipinski is here. Luke, we got through a dead Thursday during All-Star Week yesterday.
I had fun yesterday.
It was fun.
I love the open to the show. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Well, and watching your reaction to it is even better.
I physically cringe every day.
You don't even put the headphones on until this music starts.
I can't listen to it anymore.
Oh, it's fantastic. I could listen to it in a continuous loop.
I will bow to the majority and let it be played. And I'll just...
It's just so ironic.
I will just internally seethe every day at 10 o'clock.
Well, you internally seethe every day anyway. Why not just schedule it for 10 o'clock?
Very true. Now I'm more organized.
Now, you mentioned yesterday was a slow day, but we answered a lot of the tough questions yesterday.
Oh, boy.
And these are some of the poll results. Dwight Howard's career actually had a bigger swing from its peak to its current state than The Simpsons, according to that, 60-40. It's a brilliant idea to have a sumo wrestler play goalie. And the most annoying thing in parking is when people go over the lines, not necessarily sit in their car or leave shopping carts out.
No, I'm not even talking. When I brought that up, I wasn't even talking about people sitting in their car. I'm talking about people that are backing out of a spot. They're done with their business in said parking spot, and it takes them a half an hour to do it.
Look, I can put an end to this full debate, because the last time I did What's On Your Mind when you weren't here and Bickley was, I can tell you the most annoying thing people do in their car is sit at a red light in front of me, and then it turns green, and they're still texting, and they go through, and I get a ticket. That's the most annoying thing people do in their car. And it has happened in the last month.
It does happen. All right, we got a lot to tackle today, actually. So let's get started with the splash.
The splash, splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The splash.
A little bit bummed out today as we start the splash because Jared Dudley is now a former Phoenix Sun, one of our favorites here on the show, one of the favorites among Suns fans. In his second stint, it has come to an end. Traded today to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange, along with a 2021 second round pick for front court guy Darrell Arthur, who's going to be bought out, apparently, according to the reports. So the Suns will save about $2.1 million with this move. Darrell Arthur's been traded twice this offseason, and he'll be on a third team this offseason if somebody picks him up after the buyout occurs. But Jared Dudley came here 2 years ago, signed a three-year deal, was making pretty good money. I think played the role that the Suns wanted him to play, and that was more of a mentor as opposed to an on-court contributor, and he played it well.
I'd agree with that. And like you said, I think a lot of the fans, certainly people in the media, are not happy to see him go, but it was inevitable. I mean, you can see sort of what the Suns are doing, and I think a lot of this focuses on an eye towards next summer, when if you look at the list of 2019 potential free agents in the NBA, it's basically everybody except LeBron. Usually it's LeBron and everybody else. Next year, it's like everybody's a free agent except LeBron, and obviously Devin Booker now too.
Yeah, that wasn't the only move the Suns made today. They also swung a deal with the Philadelphia 76ers for forward center Rashawn Holmes for cash considerations. Our own John Gambadoro reporting that cash total, $1 million. And you might say, who's Rashawn Holmes? He is an intriguing piece. He can play a little bit. In fact, Zach Lowe wrote for ESPN.com, quote, some smart team will try to poach Holmes from the Sixers' overcrowded front court while it's still overcrowded.
Well, that smart team then is the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, 24 years old, shot 62.4% from two-point range last year. Big guy, 6'11", can play a role. He's on the last year of his contract, too. So If there's a future there, maybe he stays. If it doesn't work out, great. Cap space next summer.
I'm all for having the one-year players to fill out this roster right now. And for that exact reason, if he ends up being something that's worth keeping, you just keep him. If not, it's nothing wrong with having extra roster and cap space a year from now.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the NBA, yesterday, big trade going down. Carmelo Anthony unloaded by the Oklahoma City Thunder. This happened toward the tail end of our show, so we didn't get a big chance to elaborate on it. But the Thunder, by making this deal and sending Carmelo Anthony to Atlanta, where he'll be bought out and waived and then become a free agent and most likely sign with the Houston Rockets, but they save like $60 million off their luxury tax bill. They're still like really, really crunched financially.
Yeah.
Because they have six players that are, I think it was six I read earlier today, that are totaling $138 million in payroll just next year, which is unbelievable.
That would be acceptable if you still had James Harden and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they softened the blow, though, but by making this move. And now the speculation becomes, and I think there's a similar plot line here, Luke, with Carmelo Anthony. If you read the tea leaves and he ends up in Houston, last year, when he got to Oklahoma City, I thought, does this make sense for Oklahoma City? They got Paul George. They got Russell Westbrook. What is Carmelo Anthony going to bring them? And I'm not going to say that Carmelo Anthony was the sole reason why the Thunder had the year that they had. I just don't think he fit in very well. And you can ask those same questions about how he fits in with the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could be. I was with you a year ago with Oklahoma City. It just didn't make a ton of sense. And you're right. It doesn't make a ton of sense, I guess, either with Houston. But if he's going into this situation knowing his role a little bit more, I mean, if Houston really is that close, and I don't know that they are now without Trevor Ariza, but if they really are as close as they think they are, and Carmelo Anthony comes in as just a role player to knock down some shots, it could be something. I can't really get excited about that move.
It could be, but Ariza could play that role offensively and then also give you something on the defensive end.
Well, they've taken a huge step back without Ariza. They absolutely have.
And Luke Bamute's gone, too. I mean, those are two big losses that I don't think Carmelo Anthony can replicate what those guys brought from an intensity standpoint. And certainly from a defensive standpoint.
I think Ariza on the Suns. I think he can do a lot of good things. But I think it's pretty safe to say losing him hurts Houston more than gaining him helps Phoenix, right? I mean, if you consider yourself a legitimate title contender, and they were close. They were as close as you could possibly get last year. You can't lose a guy like Trevor Ariza because he's that sort of subtle, under-the-radar difference maker in a meaningful playoff game.
Yeah, I would agree. Baseball's back tonight. The Cubs and Cardinals started the post-All-Star break schedule last night, but the D-backs are back at it. 65 games remaining on the schedule. They enter this stretch of play a half game out of first place in the National League West. 36 of those games the rest of the way are against National League West foes, including the next three at Chase Field against Colorado tonight. And it'll be on the mound for the Diamondbacks, Robbie Ray getting the start against Herman Marquez. I'm very interested to see how things shake out. And there was a lot of reaction yesterday from the Diamondbacks. They got back together and had a workout at Chase Field. And there was a lot of reaction to what happened in their division with the Manny Machado trade.
Yeah.
And nobody seems all that fazed by it.
What?
I mean, you have to say that publicly.
Yeah.
Now, we'll talk again in September and see how they feel.
It's sort of along the lines of what we said yesterday of it's baseball, so one player doesn't make nearly as much of a difference as he can in basketball, let's say. But it's that is a difference maker for the Dodgers on some level. They definitely got better this week. There's ways the Diamondbacks can get better. They can go out and trade for a piece. They can add a starter. They can add bullpen help. The players they have on their team that they are expecting a lot from can contribute more. Jake Lamb, Steven Souza, Robbie Ray, AJ Pollock can stay healthy. That will make them better. But they are going to have to be better in the second half than they were in the first half because L.A. is better.
Yeah. 6:40 first pitch tonight out at Chase Field. You can hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And finally, I have two more items in the splash. The first one from the NFL, and it's anthem related. Oh, goody. After the NFL came up with their anthem policy without talking to the Players Association, now as we get closer and closer to the full start of training camp for all 32 teams, they say, uh-oh, we got to revisit this again. So negotiations with the Players Association led to a joint statement yesterday that, quote, no new rules relating to the anthem will be issued or enforced for the next several weeks, while both sides continue to hold discussions to figure out how to move forward. My prediction is this. It was a misstep by the NFL in the first place this offseason when it came to the anthem policy.
Yeah.
They'll make it worse.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll find a way
They've
to make
it worse. They've already made it worse. Like, it's difficult for me to think like Roger Goodell. We're not very similar people. But I would assume...
Well, you're competent at your job, so there's the biggest difference.
Better than Goodell. Hold on, Jared's putting on the headphones. He's going to shoot that down quickly. I would assume the NFL's whole plan here was to sort of brush this under the rug in the offseason. Instead, they've made it a bigger story.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going.
And it keeps going. And now you've got individual players like Jarrell Casey of Tennessee saying, I don't care. I'm still going to protest.
Now nobody's happy because if you're protesting, your message has been lost in all this in a lot of ways. Not completely, but it's gotten just mixed into the shuffle of everything being politicized and the NFL trying to regulate everything. And I don't know. It seems a little odd if you're going to try and regulate a protest and organize it. If you're going to regulate and organize somebody else's protest, doesn't that kind of defeat the whole purpose?
All right, before we riot, I just want to lay out the ground rules,
yes.
Okay?
You guys stand over there and make sure you're standing. Otherwise, it's going to throw everything off. If you don't like it, just stay in the locker room. Then everybody will get your message, right?
Yeah.
And then none of us will ever talk about it, except we're going to talk about how we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
It's a great plan. It's really working out well for the NFL.
You summed it up very well. Mm-hmm. And finally, round two of the Open Championship at Carnoustie over in Scotland. There is a four-way tie atop the leaderboard right now. Zach Johnson, Kevin Kisner, former Sun Devil Pat Perez, and Xander Lombard all at 6 under par. A couple of those players still out on the course, Perez and Lombard. Tommy Fleetwood, Tony Finau, 1 stroke back. Rory McIlroy, 2 strokes back. Tiger Woods shot another even par, 71 today. He's even through 2 rounds of the tournament.
That should be his new nickname, just Even Steven.
Even par?
Yeah, even par. It's a horrible name for a golfer.
That was the one joke I really somewhat enjoyed content-wise from Danica Patrick at the ESPYs.
Yeah?
She said, Tiger Woods is back. I mean, I guess. He's getting all this attention and he never wins. Who does he think he is? Me?
See, that's funny.
I mean, my delivery just then was way better than her.
Accidentally better.
Tiger Woods is back. Sort of, I guess. I mean, you know, why do people keep talking about this guy when he isn't winning? Who does he think he is? Me?
Yeah, my delivery was better.
She made me shorter somehow.
I did.
She made it less than one syllable.
Yeah, I will give credit where credit is due. And she wasn't responsible for this. This was actual comedy writers that did this for the ESPYs. You can just fade that out, Jared.
Keep it going for 4 hours. I like that music.
The parody sketch they did instead of I, Tanya, me, Danica.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, see, me and Jared saw that with the sound turned down, so it wasn't nearly as funny.
And it's bad, too, when Aaron Rodgers has to publicly support his girlfriend for her performance.
Yeah, that is such an odd pairing, isn't it?
Prediction, she will not be hosting the ESPYs next year.
Now I kind of hope she does. She just does it every year. I'll tune in.
All right, that is The Splash for today, July 20th, 2018. Luke Lipinski in for Bick today on Bickley and Murata as we broadcast live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. Jared Dudley, now a two-time former Phoenix Sun on his way to the Brooklyn Nets. Jared Dudley will join the show. He's scheduled to join us at 11:30 today, and we'll get the whole story because JD never holds back on anything.
Nope.
If something's on his mind, he will tell you how it relates to him, how it relates to the Phoenix Suns. Is there a buyout in his future with the Brooklyn Nets? According to some reports, there's been discussions, but Jared Dudley himself doesn't like buyouts. He wants to be paid to play. Although, I will say this possibility, if the Nets do want to buy him out, Jared Dudley could be a semi-valuable piece to a contending team around the league. Which, you know, it's no secret he's getting toward the end of his career. That might be a nice feather in his cap at the end of his career.
So wait, are you saying the Nets aren't a contending team? Is that what you're not considering?
Jared, hit the breaking news sounder.
We haven't had any yet.
Yeah. I am saying that. The Nets will not contend for a title this year.
They have done a masterful job of being horrible and never having a high draft pick because they've given them all to Boston. I mean, you think about the last few drafts, and we've obviously been very focused on them here in Phoenix because the Suns have been picking near the top each year. The Nets never pick.
No.
They got rid of all of their picks. They decided to be terrible and never even get the one silver lining you receive for being terrible.
Yeah, I'm looking at their draft history.
It ends in like 1974. They haven't made a pick since then.
Are they finally done with that too, or are they still dealing with that?
Boston, the funny thing Sacramento's
is, and we've had Bobby Marks on the program, and he works for ESPN now as a front office insider, and he was part of that front office in Brooklyn that swung that deal, basically crippled the franchise.
And then he was like, gotta go.
Here's their draft picks going back to, 2013. Mason Plumlee picked 22nd. Chris McCullough in 2015 picked 29th. Their first draft pick in 2016, their only draft pick, was 55th overall, Marcus Page. Jarrett Allen picked 22nd. Kyle Kuzma was a draft pick of theirs, too, but they traded that.
That's good. Got to get rid of those guys.
And then this year in the first round, 29th overall, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Zanon Musa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also known as the difference maker.
I mean, it's the opposite history of the Suns, who have been littered with top 10 picks over the last 5 years.
Well, yeah.
And they're kind of in the same place.
But if you're going to be bad,
at least the Suns have a future.
At least have a chance to make some picks. You can sit there and say, okay, well, the Suns screwed up taking guys like Alex Len and maybe Marquise Chris and maybe even Dragan Bender. But at least they put themselves in position to make picks.
How many players on the Nets right now can you name if you don't count Jared Dudley?
I can name four.
Look, you got Joe Harris. You got Spencer Dinwiddie. D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, yeah, D'Angelo Russell.
That was a good move to get him.
Not many. I can't name many.
Although, didn't they have to give up a lot to get D'Angelo Russell? So maybe it wasn't that good of a move, as it turns out.
That was the Kyle Kuzma trade, correct?
I'm piecing this together in my head. There's at least nothing for D'Angelo Russell to film in Brooklyn. Get in hot water with his teammates because none of his teammates will be there a year from now.
No, so with Jared Dudley on the move, I mean, he was one of the two veterans they brought in over the last few years to play that role. The other one is Tyson Chandler. Does Tyson Chandler's role change? And I know Gambo has reported for months now that Tyson Chandler wanted out at the end of last year. That, you know, he's a professional, so if he's still here in Phoenix, he'll continue to play the role that is asked of him. But if you're giving up on this whole veteran mentorship thing, With Jared Dudley, is Tyson Chandler next? Is there a market for Tyson Chandler? He's in the last year of his deal, too. And those expiring deals carry worth in the NBA.
The only concern I have with that, and look, I mean, either way, Tyson Chandler's not going to be on your team a year from now. And I know some people think that having somebody like that around as a mentor, it's overrated in the sense that you don't keep him around just for that. And that's fine. I get that. But can you have a team where everybody is 21 and under? Don't you need a couple guys to be able to show these kids the ropes in terms of life in the NBA?
Well, Trevor Ariza's going to play that role this year.
Is he going to play? He's going to play the role entirely himself. Are we relying on Devin Booker to be a veteran on this team?
Well, that's an interesting point you bring up. Devin Booker's 21, and you signed that max deal. Your importance changes. You're not just a future piece with a bright, you know, with a bright path ahead of you. You have to be a leader on this team.
You do.
And he's going into his fourth year.
And I think he is a leader.
I do too.
But I just, I worry a little bit. I like the core they've built, but we've seen this in sports in the past where if you don't really have any players that have been around the block a few times in the league and you're all learning from each other, there's a lot of risk that you don't develop as well as you should. I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on Kokoschkov, obviously, and his coaching staff, and that's their primary job with this team. I get that. And I'm not saying I would keep Tyson Chandler around just to be a mentor, because obviously roster spots in the NBA are a little more scarce than they are in the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NHL or whatever, but I'm a little concerned about that.
I think that's fair to be a little bit concerned, but going into this offseason, when Bick and I would talk about this, the big part of what I wanted to see happen this year for the Suns was you have Devin Booker in place. Whether or not he gets the extension, he's going to be on your team next year.
Yeah.
It's time to start surrounding him with veterans who know how to play the game of basketball. And, by the way, are going to play the game of basketball. Jared Dudley didn't necessarily fit that role, especially last year, because he didn't get a lot of playing time. Tyson Chandler, sporadically, in and out of the lineup. So they added one of those pieces, Trevor Ariza, who's going to be on the floor a lot for this team.
And I think he's the right kind. You don't want to just add somebody because they've been in the league for a while. It's got to be somebody that you're going to notice this when the team loses four or five in a row and things aren't going well. And then that 4-5 game losing streak balloons into a 13-game losing streak. That's where you need the vets in there to turn it around and get everybody to change up what they're doing, to change up the stuff they need to change without messing up what they're doing right. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Even when you're looking up and you're realizing, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs this year, the second half of the season, you don't just completely mail it in or melt down and just completely fall apart. There's still value in that. I think you need more guys like Trevor Ariza. Not a ton, but you're putting a lot of pressure on him and Booker. And I agree, Booker needs to be a leader. I think he took steps towards that last year. But that's asking a lot of Devin Booker.
Yeah, it is. But here's another guy, too. And I know his future is somewhat cloudy on how he fits into this whole Suns puzzle. But TJ Warren's a guy with a lot of experience in this league. And, you know, is he a grizzled 30-year-old? No. But on this team, he's pretty close to that.
It's true.
In terms of experience and age. So he's another guy. And he's a lot more quiet than Devin Booker. I think he's a lot more demonstrative in his play than he is with his leadership skills. But that's something that needs to fall on him, too, if he's going to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
You can also ask the question now, and I think it's pretty much answered, the possibility of Alan Williams returning to the Suns. Very scant.
Yeah.
Because of the Rashawn Holmes acquisition from Philadelphia. Holmes, 6'11". He'll be 25 right around the time the regular season starts.
I guess he's a vet.
They added another one.
There you go.
And he comes from a team that, that played well, made a run into the playoffs last year.
It was a young team, too.
Yeah. So he'll be in the fold. I think that means Alan Williams' future is elsewhere outside of Phoenix. The Suns also decided today, as Gambo reported earlier, to fully guarantee Davon Reed and plan to keep Shaquille Harrison. I'm more surprised by the Reed move, and he played well in Vegas.
Yeah.
We didn't see what Davon Reed was capable of last year because of the injury, and even when he came back, he didn't look all that comfortable at the tail end of the season. He looked really smooth, really comfortable, can shoot the ball, and he showed that in Vegas. And Shaq Harrison, for all of his offensive shortcomings, I think he might have been the Suns' best overall player in the Vegas summer.
I would agree with that. Absolutely. He seemed like he was controlling most of those games, especially as summer league wore on. It seemed like, I understand Vegas basketball is a little bit different when you're playing in the summer league. There's more of a focus on the guards, but it just seemed like everything ran through Shaq Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed like the best player on the team.
We were talking in the show prep meeting today about you went down the rabbit hole of some reading some Suns message boards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those places can be filled with negativity, but you found it to be the opposite, filled with positivity.
I will absolutely 100% give Suns fans credit of being the most positive fan base in town, and maybe the most positive fan base anywhere ever. I mean, you watch the Cardinals, when they go 8-8, people react like they went 0-16. And unless the Diamondbacks are way into first place, there are definitely nights where you look around the stadium and you're like, where is everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be a half game out of first place, and you're like, where is everybody? Now, granted, it's the summer in Phoenix, so people aren't here. I get that. And Coyotes fans have just been through so much the last 10 years wondering what's going on from year after year. But Suns fans are just the eternal optimists. They have gone 8 years without making the playoffs. That's longer than any other team in the Valley. And I'm reading posts last night that 45 wins for sure. You guys, you've never seen anybody like DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, but that's because they stunk. So they have hope. They're hoping that they're going to be good. This is the year they're supposed to be better. If they're not better this year.
But 45 wins is, I mean, that is a ridiculous
that's a
jump.
24-win jump. That's like Larry Bird jump. Category.
Yeah.
That's like the Suns when they added Tom Chambers and Kevin Johnson jumping from 28 to 55. Those jumps are really rare in the NBA.
Don't you think?
I hope you're right. I mean, it makes all of our lives a lot more enjoyable here in this industry if the Suns are a contending team for a playoff spot, but I'll take the under on 45 wins this year.
But don't you think, though, if they're not significantly better this year, a lot of those timeline people will start to jump off and start to get angry?
I don't know because you add the number one overall draft pick, and DeAndre Ayton's not going to average 25-15 this year. I think he's going to have a good season. What do we say, 15-9?
You said 15-9. Yeah, I said I ultimately want him to get to like 22-11 or 12, but that doesn't have to be this year.
But if he shows growth during the season, I still think if you're patient for 8 years, the majority of those people are going to be patient for 9 and 10.
But then where does
the timeline people, I think, are infinitely patient. But
you think it could go on forever?
It can't go on forever.
I just don't want to be in the position a year from now where we're like, well, we got another top five pick, so we'll just get rid of TJ Warren, bring in that top five. You're just recycling guys at that point. This is the time to turn the corner and start winning games. But I just don't think it's going to be 45.
No, I think that number seems high to me, too, especially when you're playing, 52 of your 82 games in the Western Conference, which is absolutely loaded.
Yeah, if you were in the Eastern Conference, I'd be a lot more optimistic in terms of wins. I think the Suns can improve a lot without their record improving.
40 sounds high to me.
38?
I'll be fine with 35.
34 to 36 would be anything above that for me personally. I'm not speaking for anybody else. Anything above that would be gravy.
If you do 35 this year in the Western Conference and DeAndre Ayton looks like the guy we all expect him to be, and you know Devin Booker's taking more steps, and it's more, I think with the Suns, it's more than just their record this year, right? You want to see Josh Jackson takes the next step. You want to see that Dragan Bender or Marquese Chris, you're going to get answers on them this year. Mm-hmm. If they don't contribute this year, they're not going to be here next year. They might not even be here this year. We don't know. But I think you're going to start to get some answers. And for me, I just want more of those answers to be positive than negative, as opposed to, well, they only won 33 games. Just show me progress this year. Don't tell me about progress. Actually show me progress. But you don't have to make the playoffs this year.
Don't tell me you love me. Show me you
That's
love me.
That's absolutely what I'm saying.
Phoenix Convention Center will once again host more than 75 of the Southwest's best craft brewers with over 350 craft beers, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Just visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter, and for complete details on the Real Wild and Woody Indoor Beer Festival on July 28th. Coming up, we'll continue to talk NBA, get some feedback on the Suns' moves and the rest of the league. Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN.com will join us next. It's Bickley and Murata, Luke Lipinski in today for BIC, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Friday edition of Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Luke Lipinski in for Bick today. Suns making some moves, lots of moves being made around the NBA as the offseason continues. Here to break it down with us from ESPN, the magazine, and ESPN.com, NBA writer Kevin Arnovitz joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Lots to break down locally. The Suns make some minor moves today. The Jared Dudley deal to Brooklyn, and I know Darrell Arthur, who the Suns get, is going to be subject to a contract buyout. On the flip side, I know there's some debate on whether or not Jared Dudley will be bought out by the Nets. How do you see that shaken out?
It's very possible, just because, I mean, obviously the Nets are looking to the future. To the extent that they want to allocate minutes, they want it to be to the young guys. That said, Jared's always been regarded as a really great locker room guy, and you know, one of the things that even young teams will want to do is, you know, provide some veteran leadership in the locker room. So, I would expect they have actually been making a habit of buying guys out, you know, being the recipient, the Nets being the recipient for contracts that need to get moved. Yeah, those moves tend to be incentivized like it was today. You get a pick, and then, oh, by the way, the guy is free to, you know, negotiate a buyout and move on to a contender or a semi-contender. And that could very well be the case with Jared. But then again, you know, who knows? He, Damari Carroll, they hung on to, and, you know, another, you know, lead by example kind of guy. So, you know, you never know.
Kevin, it seems like a lot of the moves the Suns are making now are being done with an eye towards next offseason when the free agent class is crazy. If you're looking at this team, what sort of player would you be targeting a year from now?
I mean, I versatility, somebody who can defend. I mean, I think that's still kind of the mystery variable in the future Suns, is clearly they are becoming a pretty gifted offensive team. The question now is, you know, can they defend? Is this the composition of a team that can rank in the top half of the league defensively, which, you know, historically you pretty much need to do? You know, for all the talk about the Suns teams under D'Antoni didn't play defense, no, actually, you know, they were a very solid 11th and 12th, I think, in those, you know, halcyon years. And you know, that is the thing. And I think, you know, Ariza pretty much, I think it is an expression of that. I mean, obviously there's a sense that Jackson projects to be a pretty good defender. I think Booker is more indifferent than he is incapable. And some of that is just youth. And you know, learning NBA defense is sort of a graduate level task for young players. You know, the number of guys you talk to who were you know, pretty good defenders in college, and you talk to them on a team that's struggling, and I forget who it was. It was something that was like, it is an entirely different ballgame.
Yeah.
There are so many systems. It requires so, you know, when you play 38 minutes, it's also exhausting to defend if you're also a high octane team that your guy works hard offensively. And I think that's going to be the real task. And Ayton is so gifted. You know, I think there's questions. Is he going to be kind of a, is he a guy who will ever get an all defensive vote? We don't know. And maybe that's not his forte. So at some point they're going to have to get either a system that accounts for some of those defensive vulnerabilities individually, or some really, really good defenders. If they want to have a hope of making that next jump, because, you know, we've seen plenty of teams that rank in the top five offensively. You see them, you look on the stats, and now they're 21st defensively, because you're wondering, well, why aren't they winning? Well, that's why. I mean, that's stuff that doesn't really, you know, bad defense doesn't always expose itself with like a, you know, you watch those gifs of, you know, a guy blowing an assignment. It's really kind of the marginal plays, just like, you know, pick and roll defense is one of the most unheralded important things in NBA success.
Yeah.
You know, no one ever talks about it. No one ever thinks about it. You got to be able to do it because teams run 60 pick and rolls a night, you know, and if you're behind on 42 of them, you're going to get smoked. You're going to lose a lot of 121, 111 games, and you don't want the Phoenix Suns to be that. So I think that as you build to the future, ball handlers are so important, both on the wing and at the point. You know, Booker's wonderful in that respect. He's a guy who can truly, if you need to in the modern NBA, be a point guard. But I think that's going to be the other thing, is versatile ball handlers and guys who can defend.
Kevin Arnovitz, ESPN, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Suns also made another deal today. And gauging from the reaction from Twitter and elsewhere, Kevin, it seems like getting Rashawn Holmes is a sneaky good move by the Suns. Are you of that mindset?
Yeah, I'm a Holmes fan. Yeah, he's not going to win you games specifically. But I've always liked him in Philly, and I know Philly liked him. You know, they had to create a roster spot, and, you know, they brought in Muscala. So, you know, they've got a little excess of big guys and a team that wants to play relatively small around Embiid. So, or not small, but spready, stretchy, if you will. So I've always been a Holmes guy. A lot of us advanced guys have always looked at Holmes' numbers and say, wow, the team's just better with him on the floor. So I kind of like it. It's nice insurance. It's not a major move, but it demonstrates to me a front office that has good taste in basketball players.
Kevin,
and that's a plus.
Yeah, you want that.
Yeah.
With the Kawhi Leonard move this week, in your mind, how does that change the landscape in the East? Is it still Boston? Are they still the team to beat? Or is Toronto legitimately a contender now over there?
Oh, I think Toronto's legitimately a contender. He's an upgrade over DeMar DeRozan. And, I mean, we all love DeMar. Toronto loved DeMar. He's a compromised basketball player. I mean, he is a wing who couldn't really defend at an elite level and wasn't, even though he improved from the long range, wasn't a great long-range shooter. I feel blasphemous saying this because he's just such a good guy and a great teammate. And you don't want to razz on a guy. But Kawhi Leonard healthy, and that's a big if. I mean, he's one of the three best players in basketball. I mean, he is a defensive fulcrum, a guy who's a knockdown shooter, can make plays, one of the elite rebounders at his position. Basically, can we think of anything Kawhi doesn't do well? Even as a ball handler, he's gotten pretty damn good. So, I mean, this is a team that won, 58, 59 games last year? I'm not in front of the standings. You add that guy, your young guys get better. I mean, I'm a big Siakam guy. I mean, I love Anunoby. I mean, they're going to be a really tough defensive team in the half court. And they've got some perimeter depth. So I still like Boston just because I think, I mean, wow, you reintroduce Gordon Hayward and Kyrie into that team, and their young guys get a little better. I mean, Tatum's just starting a second year. I mean, they're impressive. But I think it's going to be – I think those are the two real elite teams. I mean, I like Philly. I want to see a little more. I want to see how Simmons progresses as a shooter. I think some of their young weaknesses got exposed a little in the playoffs. But I think Toronto, Boston, I think the healthier team will finish first.
Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Throughout what we've seen starting on July 1st with the offseason, Kevin, you can even throw the draft into it too. Who are some of the teams that you've really loved the way they've operated this offseason? And on the flip side of that, who are some teams that have you just, you know, wondering what they're doing?
That's a really good question. Obviously Golden State leveraging the fact that they're Golden State continues to be impressive. That's shooting fish in a barrel. It's funny. Those of us who are true geeks, it's like You like what Brooklyn's done. Why? Because they've been accumulating assets, and I couldn't even tell you a really great player they got. They kind of unloaded more like players than they took in, but for a team working to the future, you know, it's so funny how so much of basketball, we talk about these trades and we break them down, and it's like, oh, they got off salary, or they got future assets. Like, when the hell do we ever hear of a basketball trade anymore, right? Like, so it's so hard to play this game. I mean, I'm not thrilled. I was just talking about this with someone. Something smells a little off about Houston's offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had them sort of with not just with pencil in, we had them with ink as, hey, it's a 1-2-2-1 Western Conference now. And I don't love what happened. I mean, I think they'll miss Ariza. They're going to get Carmelo. I'm just not a fan anymore. You know, I think they overpaid Chris Paul, and they had to do it for the now, but he's going to be older. He's demonstrating a lack of durability through no fault of his own. The guy plays his heart out. You know, Harden kind of had the perfect season. Can he replicate it? I don't know. Capella's is grouchy now because he's not getting a real deal, at least not yet. And you know, hopefully they'll come to terms. You know, I like Capella, and I tend to like the Houston organization.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I don't love what Houston's done. The Lakers are interesting. You obviously have to say, look, you get LeBron. You know, you've had a good offseason. That's an understatement. Interesting to watch them kind of play for the long term. We'll get a bunch of one-year guys. Yeah, they're all useful in some form or fashion. Does that look like a top two or three seed to you? I don't know. I don't want to count out LeBron, clearly. I mean, we'd be idiots. But I don't love it. It's not an elite team to me right now. It looks, frankly, a lot like a Cleveland team with LeBron and some interesting veterans who all have some utility, but, you know, are they really elite? And it's LeBron. And yeah, they have some kids that are good. But Lonzo, who knows his health now, and I like Ingram a lot, but is he an all-star? I don't know. So that's a curious one. That's both they've had one of the best and one of the oddest off-seasons.
Yes.
You know, in some ways, the best acquisition and also kind of have underwhelmed us with the peripherals.
Kevin Arnovitz, our guest. Kevin, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks,
Kevin.
He writes for the ESPN, the magazine, ESPN.com. Kevin joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. Coming up, the NFL backpedaling on a very controversial issue. We'll give you the latest next. It's Bickley and Murata, Luke Lipinski in for Bick today, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Gunga Balunga.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
We have very similar weird tastes and sick minds.
That's just gross. That's disgusting.
Nasty.
Just nasty.
Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Luke, I don't know what's going to happen when the first football is kicked off in September in the NFL in terms of what teams are going to be good. The only thing I could say with certainty right now about the NFL season in 2018 is there's going to be an anthem policy controversy.
That nobody likes.
That nobody likes. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Yep.
Nobody wants to deal with.
And that's all they'll talk about.
That's the only thing I know will transpire.
We agree that the NBA offseason this year has been so much better than the NFL offseason. The NFL prides themselves on being a 12-month-a-year sport. And I will give the NFL, the regular season is so much better than the NBA. Their playoffs are better. But if they're going to take that much pride in their offseason has been horrible this year, and the NBA has far surpassed. And I was just telling you during the break, I'm so much more into the NBA now than I was 3 months ago.
All right, let's break it down side by side real quick before we get into this anthem thing. NFL draft against NBA draft, what's better? NFL, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
The only bad thing about the NFL draft is there's so much buildup to it that by the time it comes, you're just like, all right, let's get it over with already.
That is a good point.
But the NBA draft here locally this year, I think, was more exciting for people. I know the Cardinals traded up and got Rosen, but, I mean, you went in knowing you had the number one pick. That excitement didn't really build for the Cardinals draft until the day of the draft.
Well, there's that element, too, that the NBA adds to its draft is a month before the lottery. I mean, that's another piece that the NFL doesn't have. Free agency, NFL versus NBA.
I would say this year it's been better for the NBA.
I think that's generally the rule for me.
Yeah.
If you include trades, too.
Yeah. Would you rather watch NFL preseason or NBA Summer League?
You suck me in every time with NFL preseason because I've had to go so long without football that I'm like, this is ridiculous. Nobody wants to watch the Chargers backup quarterback in week one, and then I'm there watching it.
Well, Vince does.
I'd rather watch
hates there. Yeah.
I'd rather watch Summer League.
Summer League, though, it has taken a huge step forward this year to go with all 30 teams there. It, mm-hmm. And it's just, it's when it is, it's where it is, so everybody can make a big deal out of it. This year was the first time I was a little jealous I wasn't in Vegas. I had fear of missing out on that.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed I wasn't there, too. But on the anthem policy, the Dolphins submitted paperwork to the NFL that included potential disciplinary measures for player protests during the national anthem, including suspensions. Jarrell Casey of the Tennessee Titans, while doing work overseas for the UK games over in England, said, yeah, I don't care. I'm still going to protest.
Yeah.
Titan CEO says, Jarrell, we're going to have to talk about this when you get back. So the NFL has now kind of suspended their recently passed anthem policy that says players on the field have to stand. If you don't want to be on the field, you stay in the locker room. They're moving off that. They're talking with the Players Association. They issued a joint statement Thursday that reads, the NFL and NFLPA, through recent discussions, have been working on a resolution to the anthem issue. In order to allow this constructive dialogue to continue, we've come to a standstill agreement on the NFLPA's grievance and on the NFL's anthem policy. The NFL and the Players Association reflect great values of America, which are repeatedly demonstrated by the many players doing extraordinary work in the communities across our country to promote equality, fairness, and justice. Our shared focus will remain on finding a solution to the anthem issue through mutual good faith commitments outside of litigation.
Yeah, see, this sort of goes back to my original point. I wasn't just saying that the draft or the summer league or whatever is better. It's just the vibe. The vibe around the NBA is something kind of cool might be happening this offseason. That was kind of knocked down with DeMarcus Cousins going to Golden State. I get that, and I know a lot of people don't like LeBron in L.A., but it just seems like there's more positivity, whereas the vibe around the NFL is, well, the players and the owners hate each other, and there's a lot of people getting in trouble this offseason. It just, it hasn't been a great offseason for the NFL. This is right at the top of the list because they don't know how to handle this.
No, and now they've kind of put pressure on themselves. The first game of the 2018 season, albeit a preseason game, is 2 weeks from last night. It's 13 days away when the Bears play the Ravens in the Hall of Fame game. That puts a lot of pressure now on organizations that are preparing for upcoming seasons to put aside that at least a little bit to deal with an anthem policy.
Yeah.
And I just think, too, where the NBA, there wasn't an anthem policy, or there wasn't a controversy. It was pretty much everybody was on the same page. I think with the NFL, just the sheer number of players and the size of the rosters creates an ingredient to all of this that makes it so much more difficult. And I sound like I'm maybe taking up for the NFL and Roger Goodell when I say that, but that is a reality of the situation they face. Now, they'll bungle it. Trust me.
There they are.
Yeah.
You can't put a policy in place on somebody else's protest. I mean, if you take a step back, wasn't the situation that the NFL was in, whatever, when Colin Kaepernick first kneeled of, okay, well, we're just playing our games and there's a guy over there kneeling and maybe there's a couple other guys that kneel. Looking back from the NFL's perspective, wasn't that better than this, where you're just constantly talking about how you can't, for lack of a better term, I guess, control your players? That seems to be what they want to do. They want to be able to control how they act on the sidelines. They were peaceful protests. I mean, whatever side you were on, it seemed like it was a lot less chaotic back then. It certainly seemed like we were talking about it a whole lot less. It wasn't that long ago.
It felt like it completely went away.
Yeah,
for months and months and months.
It felt like it was kind of, it was going to run its course.
Until Trump started tweeting.
Well, let me ask you this question. Play along with me. Put yourself in the shoes of an NFL player.
Okay.
And you have an issue that you want to protest.
Okay.
Going into the 2018 season, do you think your protest and getting your message out there is made effective by kneeling during a national anthem? Whatever the penalties may be, whether it's a fine to the team or the player, possible suspension or anything, don't you think just by the simple fact, because this is now the third season we were talking about this issue in the NFL, don't you think the sheer fact that you are kneeling during the anthem is the focus of most people?
Yeah.
And whatever the message of your protest or the content of your protest is, gets ignored?
It's too convoluted at this point. It's too politicized. If I was an NFL player that had a message I wanted to get across, I would say it into the microphones that were in front of my face after every game and after most practices.
Yeah, but is there anything that will get you noticed more, though, the kneeling is still going to be
so noticed, but it won't get your message.
But not for the reason you're probably seeking, unless you just want people mad at you.
Your message doesn't get across nearly as
well.
So
what does the NFL do now? It's too late, right, to do any kind of policy that will be agreed upon on either side.
There's 1 week of the year. They have the My Cause, My Cleats week, where everybody gets to show their individualism with the cleats. My protest, my cleats.
You can't have a policy.
1 week in December.
You can't say it. Week five, you guys are allowed to protest. It's not a protest then. If you tell somebody they're allowed to protest, it's not a protest. And if you tell them how to do it, it's also not a protest. They can't legislate this. And whatever they try and do, the players are going to react a different way, because now it's a fight over you're telling me I can't protest.
Well, especially with the strain that's already in existence between the commissioner's office and the players.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
It's a lot of fun.
It's great. It's so fantastic, isn't it? Nobody's getting their message across anymore, and everybody's angry at each other.
Yeah. Diamondbacks back at it tonight against the Rockies as the post-All-Star break schedule kicks off. The Dodgers got Machado. D-backs say big deal. We'll let you know more about it next. Luke Lipinski in for Bick today here on Bickley & Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.